Welcome to the press conference of the UDCG held by the ministers of Germany, United Kingdom and Ukraine, Boris Pistorius, John Healy and Rustem Umerov. We'll start with Mr. Pistorius.
Thank you, John, Rustem, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy that we have come together for the Ukraine Defense Contact Group meeting here in Brussels. It's the 27th already. As you know, the UDCG is where Western partners organize their military support of Ukraine. This is the first meeting co-chaired by the United Kingdom, my friend John Healy, and Germany. John, I think we did a good job this morning. We were able to make a major progress today. And I'm impressed and grateful for the announcements and pledges for the support packages from partners around the world. This will have an impact on the battlefield for sure already this year. And the UDCG, this coalition, has proven that it is vibrant, willing and capable to act. The situation in Ukraine. Let us first take a look at the situation in Ukraine. Russia is continuing its attacks against Ukraine with unabated intensity. This week only, Russia launched several devastating strikes, including on a Ukrainian residential area. Many people were killed, including 9 children. Russia sent out its drone swarms to target Kharkiv in the east and Dnipro in the south, and once again, Kryvyi Rih was attacked. These acts of aggression demonstrate Russia is still not yet interested in peace. Ukraine needs a strong military, and only then can the negotiation process lead to a just and lasting peace. You are aware that we are strengthening Ukraine in many different ways. One way is to support them in building up their own capabilities. To this end, the partners have joined forces within specific capability coalitions. We are making major headway in all coalitions. What's new is this. In close coordination with Ukraine and our partners, Germany has set up another capability coalition. There are now 9 coalitions altogether. With this coalition, we want Ukraine to become even better with regard to its electromagnetic warfighting capabilities. More specifically, it is about operating and maintaining Ukrainian means of communication, reconnaissance and jamming of hostile communication, counter-drone measures and navigation. The support we provide to Ukraine is not a one-way road, it is a win-win situation. The insights we gain from the coalition will benefit both us and Ukraine. We will learn from it too. Besides this, we are also delivering weapon systems. The large countries see it as a role to take a lead here. As far as Germany is concerned, I can say this. The German Parliament has agreed to provide an additional funding package. More than 11 billion euros will be made available in the years until 2029, in addition to what we have pledged so far. More specifically, this year we will deliver additional air defense systems of different ranges as well as guided missiles. We will continuously make available self-propelled howitzers, infantry fighting vehicles, as well as main battle tanks and ammunition to the Ukrainian land forces. Moreover, we will enhance the options available for repairing systems in Ukraine. We will conclude further framework agreements on spare parts with the defense industry as soon as possible. In terms of training, Germany will continue to support training missions and courses for Ukrainian personnel in many different fields. Given Russia's ongoing aggression against Ukraine, we must concede. Peace in Ukraine appears to be out of reach in the immediate future. We will ensure that Ukraine continues to benefit from our joint military support. Russia needs to understand that Ukraine is able to go on fighting, and we will support it. Rustem, this goes out to you in particular. Ukraine can count on us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Healy. Thank you. Germany and the UK together have taken on the leadership of the Ukraine Defence Contact Group, and I'm pleased to say that Minister Pistorius and I together have co-hosted it today. 51 nations and partners involved in the contact group, from Europe, across Indo-Pacific and South America. And the new pledges of military aid announced today through the UDCG total over 21 billion euros. A record boost in military funding for Ukraine, and we're also surging that support to the frontline fight. From the UK, we will spend £4.5 billion this year in military support for Ukraine, our highest ever level. And today I'm announcing £350 million to surge that support into the hands of Ukraine's frontline fighters. That's a package that includes radar systems, anti-tank mines, and hundreds and thousands of new drones. Plus, a boost to the funding, £150 million, to repair and maintain battlefield equipment. And this is part of a new effort in the months ahead to repair 3,000 Ukrainian vehicles that can be put back into the fight against Putin. Today is 1 month to the day in which Russia rejected President Trump's peace settlement. Putin said he wanted peace, but he rejected a full ceasefire. Putin said he wanted peace, but he continues to drag his feet and delay the negotiations. Putin said he wanted peace, but his forces continue to fire on Ukraine, military and civilian targets alike. From January through to March, he launched over 10,000 glide bombs into Ukraine. He's launching over 100 one-way attack drones every day. And we've reached the point now where those battlefield casualties on both sides, inflicted by drones, now way outnumber those inflicted by artillery. In our calculation, 70 to 80% of battlefield casualties are now caused and inflicted by drones. So this UDCG could not meet at a more important time, because 2025 is the critical year for this war in Ukraine, and now is the critical moment in that war. A moment for our defence industries to step up, and they are. A moment for our militaries to step up, and they are. A moment for our governments to step up, and we are. And we are sending a signal to Putin, but we are also sending a message to Ukraine, and we are saying to Ukraine, we stand with you in the fight, and we will stand with you in the peace. Thank you.
Minister Umerov.
Dear colleagues, today's UDCG was productive, effective, and efficient. As Ukrainian delegation, we have updated our colleagues on the security situation around Ukraine, and we've informed that Russia is ramping up its production, it's manning its people, and does not show any evidence of willing to have a peace. We also updated on our operational security and our priorities, where we stabilized our lines. We are focused on defense. We are working on all the priorities which we informed our partners. We also have seen that Europe is taking over the lead in the security assistance, for which we are thankful for all the partners that have been present today, and especially Germany and United Kingdom. Boris John, for your personal and your team efforts to make it possible. And it shows that we are trying to stay on our feet and go ahead as a European nation. We also have Our colleague from US participated in the UDCG, which means that US is continuing its security assistance and is beside us. We're thankful for the coalition capabilities that has been presented today to the lead nations, to the contributing nations, and it is one of the largest assistance that we are getting. We today, as John have announced, have heard the pledges of 21 billion in euro, which is one of the largest, and we're thankful to each nation that has provided this support. President Zelensky asked to focus on air defense, on a new Patriot systems. We have outlined this request to our partners, and we're working together on air defense in interceptors. So at this stage, I would like once again to thank all the nations for their contributions, for their support, and Germany and UK, Boris and John, for your leadership, for making UDCG very productive. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There's some time for questions. We'll start with, I hope I was given the names, I hope I wrote them down correctly, Johnny Beale, BBC.
Johnny Beale, BBC. If I could first of all ask you, Secretary Healy, I think you said yesterday that the plans for a reassurance force were well-developed, real, substantial. I asked Kaya Kallas, the EU foreign chief, policy chief, this morning if she was any clearer about those plans, and her one-word answer was no. I mean, she strikes me as quite a smart woman, and you strike me as a smart man. I'm just not quite clear as to how she could come out unclear about these plans when you seem to suggest, in your words, they're well-developed, real and substantial. So if you could address that, I'd be grateful. Minister Pistorius, if I could ask you, I accept that today the US Defence Secretary joined virtually, but the fact is that President Trump's special envoy to Ukraine got on a to the war, got on a plane, has gone to the Kremlin. He's flown there. The US Secretary of Defense did not come here physically. Doesn't that tell us everything we need to know? That it is more important for the US to get a deal with Russia than it is to show solidarity and support for Ukraine. Do you think those are the right priorities? And then finally, Minister Umerov, if I can ask you, you talked about continuing US support. None of us are clear as to what the US, this administration, is doing. We know that there is still some of the weapons that the Biden administration promised that are coming through to Ukraine. But has this administration given you any additional support? Thank you very much.
Kaya Kallas is an outstanding European leader. The European Union has played an important series of roles in supporting Ukraine and putting pressure on Russia since its brutal illegal invasion was launched in February 22. Our planning is indeed for the coalition of the willing, real, substantial, well advanced. The European Union is not part of that planning.
But she still didn't know that's, at the end of the meeting.
That's the answer.
Well, in terms of the participation of Pete Hegseth virtually or physically here in Brussels, it's not a matter of priorities. I think it's a matter of schedules. As far as I'm informed, he just came back from a several days lasting a trip around the world, more or less. And we had some other ministers not taking part today, too, because they had other schedule obligations, too. So the most important fact was that he took part. He addressed the auditorium with some, I would say, interesting and correct assessments, considering what Europeans have been doing since the beginning of the year and have done before. And I think this is the most important fact about that. And in the future, in the weeks to come, we will see what's going to happen with a U.S. participation, with the U.S. support. I am not able to have a look in the crystal ball. We wait and see, and what I have been saying during the last months too is we should better look on our own and to do what we have to do and we can do. And this is what we are doing now. We take on more responsibility as Europeans and NATO, as Europeans together with UK. We do whatever we can do to support Ukraine as long as it takes. And I think today was a quite impressive evidence for what we are able and willing to do. And this is what counts, not whether a minister takes part physically or virtually.
Yeah. US is our prime partner for both Ukraine and continental Europe, or Europe as a whole. The US has told us after the new administration stepped in that they will be besides Europe, besides Ukraine, but their focus will be in Asia-Pacific or in the Pacific. They're still participating in UDCG. They are providing us security assistance, and they took a lead in a peace initiative, which they are focused. And Ukraine have supported President Trump's peace initiative and participated in several occasions where U.S. team has got all 100% of support from Ukrainian team. So at this stage, I say it's a share of responsibilities that European partners are taking the lead. U.S. is besides us and focused on the peace, and we're working together. Our job is to make it happen. Thank you.
There's time for two more questions. Isabel Schäfer, ZDF.
Good afternoon. One question to Minister Umerov. You already mentioned that you needed more air defense. I would like to know if you could give us some more insight on what exactly you requested today and how you assess the willingness and also capabilities of your partners here to deliver exactly that and quickly.
Yeah, integrated air and missile defense is a challenge in the world where Russia strikes daily hundreds of different missiles from cruise, ballistic, hypersonic, and kamikaze drones. So there are systems that can take the ballistic missile, that there are systems that are working on a new generation to make capability grown up. So at this stage, we're working with our partners to find additional Patriot system, additional new systems, and today, thanks to our partners, that there are commitments, and Germany is leading the Integrated Air and Missile Defense Capability Coalition, and there are commitments from Germany to assist us and from other countries as well, so we will find solution to it. But air defense is a problem all over the world. So at this stage, we're doing maximum as we can to deliver it as fast as we can.
And I announced today that Germany will relaunch our IRAD, which we started first time last year, to collect money from all over the world to be able to procure more systems for air defense and to increase and to give an impact to the industry to produce more. That's what we've done 1.5 years ago, and we will proceed and we will continue with a relaunch of that initiative as soon as possible.
And the final question goes to Mr. Gutschka, Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung.
It's a long way to go.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot. Thomas Gutschka, Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. It's actually on the same issue. So ahead of the meeting, President Zelensky had asked for a minimum of 10 more systems that are fit for ballistic missile defense. With the 21 billion announced today, which I think is the same amount that Secretary General Rutte gave us last week, is there any hope, or can you specify any numbers of what, of how many systems out of these 10 Ukraine might expect this year? Thank you. That's going to Minister Pistorius.
What Minister Umerov and President Zelensky mentioned earlier was to require one system until the summer, if I understood it correctly. But on the long run, they need more. As you know, Germany provided already four full systems of Patriot, we are not able to provide any more for the moment because we are waiting for being provided by Raytheon in the years to come, which will start only in 27, when I remember correctly. So we are not able to provide more, but what we do is to try to collect all over the world any system in that range for air defense which we can find, and we try at the same time to find money to buy anything we can get and to, as I mentioned earlier, to help to increase the capabilities, the capacities of the industry to produce more of that. But Germany is not able to provide one more system, at least not for the moment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Time is over. I'm sorry.
Well, we were focused on UDCG. I just heard it. So President Trump wants ceasefire. I hope we'll hear from our U.S. counterparts soon about the update and further steps on our meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Sorry, I was wrong. We provided three.